What happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun, or fester like a sore and then run? Does it stink like rotten meat, or crust and sugar over like a syrupy sweet? Maybe it just sags like a heavy load. Or does it explode? Harlem by Langston Hughes. These words of Langston Hughes, intertwining dreams and deferral, echo throughout American culture whenever we speak of that will-o'-the-wisp, the American dream. What is the American dream? Is it the same for everyone? Is it available to everyone? What conditions make it possible to fulfill? Why does it feel like an illusion, even a trap, for so many? In Harlem, Hughes has in mind the dreams of immigrants, migrants, and refugees. In early drafts, Good Morning, another poem which follows Harlem in Montage of a Dream Deferred, Good Morning was originally entitled Harlem, and the poem Harlem was part of that longer poem. In this early version, Hughes speaks of immigrants from Puerto Rico, Cuba, Haiti, and Jamaica streaming out of Penn Station, wondering and wide-eyed, dreaming and dark. I've seen them come, wondering, wide-eyed, dreaming and dark. What happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun, or fester like a sore and then run? Does it stink like rotten meat, or crust and sugar over like a syrupy sweet? Maybe it just sags like a heavy load. Or does it explode? Pouring out of Penn Station, a new nation. But the trains are late. Almost 20 years after Hughes' poem of Deferred Dreams, published in 1951, Dr. King shared his own dream. I say to you, my friends, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plains, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. Hughes had in mind immigrants, migrants, and refugees, wondering and wide-eyed, dreaming and dark. Dr. King dreamed of children, black and white, walking hand in hand. Women, too, and our siblings in the LGBTQ plus community of every race and creed have dreamed of equality forever. But dreams have been deferred for rural Americans as well. Even some of us have had to lay aside our dreams for reasons of physical, spiritual, emotional, or mental health, or to take care of a beloved member of our family. Beloved, dreams are exploding all around, extending the conversation beyond race and gender equality. My intent isn't to diminish their urgency. People are dying. Some of us must yet defer our dreams for their sake. But can we find common ground in our common pain? Embracing our shared experience, can we together give life to dreams deferred? Jesus is preaching and teaching throughout the countryside, sharing the good news of God's love, healing every disease and sickness. When he looks at the people, their suffering breaks his heart. For their dreams deferred, they are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Overwhelmed, Jesus turns to his disciples and asks for their prayers. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. This defining moment in Jesus' ministry comes just after Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is perhaps the most complete collection of Jesus' teachings on life and faith. There we discover mercy and compassion more than purity and piety are what God requires. God blesses people the world discards. God loves people the world hates. The love of God abides wherever unlovable people find love and untouchable people are embraced. This is the good news, people harassed and helpless, with dreams long deferred, long to hear. When Jesus steps out of his pulpit, the first person he meets is a leper. Jesus reaches out and touches the leper and heals him. In Capernaum, Jesus heals the slave of a Roman centurion. At the end of the day, he finds Peter's mother-in-law in bed with a fever. Jesus heals her too. Along the way, Jesus meets two demoniacs in the region of the Gerasenes. No one would come near them. Driving their demons into a herd of swine, Jesus heals them, restoring their dreams. Returning home, a paralyzed man, carried by his friends, drops in. Jesus has compassion and heals him. In the meantime, a Pharisee, whose daughter has died, comes to Jesus, asking him to lay hands upon her that she might live again. Before he could reach this little girl, a woman suffering from a blood disorder for 12 years touches the fringe of his robe, asking to be healed. Jesus has compassion for this woman as well. Finally, Jesus arrives at the bedside of the centurion's daughter and raises her from the dead. Returning home, exhausted, Jesus is met by two blind men. They follow him into the house, and he opens their eyes. Not long after they leave, someone brings yet another demoniac to him. Jesus casts out that demon, and the man speaks. Though it is all in a day's work for Jesus, everyone throughout the land is amazed. Everywhere he goes, everywhere he turns, everywhere he looks, someone needs Jesus. There were lepers to be cleansed, demons to be freed, people to be healed, dreams to be restored. People were knocking at his door, tugging on his sleeve, interrupting his dinner, and even dropping through the roof. Harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Their needs endless, their dreams long deferred. Jesus is overwhelmed with compassion. He'd leave in a boat to escape the crowds. He'd go up a mountain to pray, but the people, harassed and helpless, their dreams deferred, like sheep without a shepherd, the people were always with him. Jesus needs someone, anyone, to stand in his stead at times, sharing in his work, bringing healing to the people and giving life to their dreams. So Jesus asks his friend to pray for him. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Cherries, apples, corn or beans, a ripened harvest waits for no one. The fruit is picked, brought to market, shared and enjoyed, or it dies, rots in the field. The same is true for people, harassed and helpless. Like sheep without a shepherd, they can only survive so long. Dreams, too, can only be deferred for a time before they die. This is why Jesus prays. The cost of dreams deferred is great. Beloved, we are the answer to Jesus' prayers. We've watched as dreams dry up or fester like a sore. We've smelled the stench, we've borne the burden. We've witnessed the explosions. But today is a new day. The harvest is plentiful. It's time to clean old wounds and pick up the pieces. Share the good news. Heal the people. Give life to dreams deferred by loving as Christ loves. We are the answer to Jesus' prayers, giving life to dreams deferred. Thanks be to God.